Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena Studio, and welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White, from virginiasports.com. And one of the highlights of my summer was watching the United States win its second consecutive Women's World Cup in soccer. I was in Ireland for the semis, I was in England for the final, and it was cool to be overseas in Europe cheering on Team USA during its run to the World Cup championship, all of which sets up my introduction to today's guest, and that's Steve Swanson, who in addition to being the head women's coach here at UVA, is a longtime assistant with the U.S. national team. Steve, welcome back to the show. This was your second World Cup title as a U.S. assistant coach. What was the experience like? You've had a little time for it to sink in now.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be back. I think this is my fourth day in Charlottesville since May 1st, I think. So it's still I think because I've got the two jobs, I've gone from one right to the other. It's still, I don't think it's really sunk in as much as maybe to some others. Mm-hmm. I think when you're in it, you don't tend to see all the outside and how many people are watching and how much publicity there is around it. And I think I'm getting a sense of that even more now being back here in the U.S. and just listening to people and, talking to people about how many games they watched and the tournament itself and those kinds of things. So it was a tremendous accomplishment, that's for sure. But I think it was the neat thing is to hear how many people were into it. And like you, they knew where they were. They knew what they were doing, and it mattered, you know.
What coaches are always worrying about the next game, if there is a next game. So when you win the semifinal, how long did you enjoy that win before you started – prepping for the final as a coaching staff?
Well, I don't think I ever got a chance to enjoy a win there. It's just, you don't have a lot of time to prepare between matches, especially in the knockout stage. And it was, I'm not sure, let's put it this way. I'm not sure we could have, as a staff, kept the pace, of preparing, of downloading games, preparing the team, that we had done over the course of the last two and a half weeks once we got the knockout stages anymore. It was almost like the final was, I think we probably could have done another game or two, but then we would have been shattered, I think, at the end. So it was pretty intense, a lot of hard work, but I think seeing the smiles on the faces of the players at the end of the game was really made it all worth it. And certainly seeing the reaction of this country and how many fans got behind the team was great.
And there was a considerable cheering section there in France, wasn't there? Or there appeared to be on TV.
There was. I think I was really surprised. In Canada, you kind of got the effect of hey, there's some momentum here. There's people following the team. I got a sense of that more around the semifinal. Here, it was almost like once we got into our second match of even the group stage, you felt there were a lot of Americans there, and there was a real big contingent following the team and being part of everything. So that was, and it was very important for us, I think, especially in that last game. That was critical for us to have as many fans as we did there.
France hosted the World Cup, and the country was in the, like the rest of Europe or most of Europe, was in the middle of a heat wave for part of the tournament. Did the heat have an effect on preparation or anything you guys did?
Yes, I think it did to some extent. Most of the games that we played, though, we played at 9 p.m., and there was still the sun was out longer, obviously, right, in the summer in Europe and those kinds of things. So, but the heat didn't affect us as much playing at that time. It was still humid. It was still a factor. But I think in the final, I know because we had an extra day's rest against the Netherlands, and their semifinal went into overtime.
Right.
They were desperate to have a water break. It wasn't mandated unless it's over a certain temperature, and it wasn't that temperature. And I know they they were hoping that we would agree to a water break, but of course we were, we have an extra day's rest finally, and we're going to take advantage of that. So, but I think you could feel it there for the last 2 or 3 weeks. The weather was a factor.
The 2015 World Cup, as you mentioned, was in Canada. This one was in France. Did the locale kind of change the experience for you a lot, what it felt like, or were you guys just so locked in as coaches that it didn't really matter where you were?
You know, that's a really good question. I think in Canada, you know, we had to fly to every single venue. And so you would think that in and of itself would make the Canada World Cup a little more challenging than the France World Cup. But for some reason, I just think France was a little more challenging in that regard. I think just we had to take a bus quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We never flew except to come into country, and everything else was on the bus. And the bus rides, some were 4 hours, some were 2 hours. But I think what was different was the amount of rest that we got between each game, and that was significantly different. Because we played in the last group, that went off. So our tournament, the World Cup started on June 7th and ended on July 8th. Our tournament started on June 11th and ended on July 8th. Mm-hmm. So we had to play the same amount of games in less time, and I think that added up to all the travel and the issue. You know, the logistical toll that takes on a team is seemed greater to me.
The 2015 national team included two of your former UVA players, Becky Sauerbrunn and Morgan Bryan. This year's roster included three former Hoos, Becky, Morgan, and Emily Sonnet. You coached each one of them at UVA. What's it been like to reconnect with them on the national team after, you know, a break of a couple of years in some cases?
Well, the nice thing about coaching on the national team is you can, when you go into camps, you're with them. So
right.
It wasn't like I had a total break from them, but I think it's just unique being around. Usually in college, you get 4 years. If
right.
You're lucky, you might get five, depending on certain situations. But for me, with Becky, for instance, I've been around Becky for almost 20 years now, and that's just so rare. And I feel very blessed for that, very fortunate. Same thing with Emily and Morgan. It was great to be back in and coaching them and being in the same team as them. I'm proud of all of them. Each of them had their own challenges to go through the process, but for them to make the team and each of them contributed in their own way. And I think one of the strengths of our team was the fact that there was really good chemistry amongst the 23 players. And I think those three in particular are just some great teammates, and they're all about the team and all about winning and fulfilling their role to their best of their ability. And so I think they're great ambassadors for the university and certainly our program.
Yeah, to kind of follow up on that, at that level of soccer, there are not a lot of substitutions, which means, you know, some of the world's best players are on the sideline for most or all of the game. You know, how big a part of team success at that level is it having the reserves, you know, be fully engaged, because these are players who are used to being the best on their teams, usually their club teams or their pro teams.
Well, I don't think we win without that. I don't think we win without the depth. I mean, we made a conscious effort as a staff to play all our players in the first two games. It was a little bit of a risk for sure. But I think the fact that we played a completely different lineup against Chile than we did against Thailand, and we had two. We came away with two wins there. Now we've made it a five-game tournament rather than a seven-game tournament. And when you look at, say, the cumulative minutes of a Holland, mm-hmm. who played most of their players, their 10 field players, most of the games, I think that made a difference at the end.
And then they have the overtime game in the semis, which
exactly.
probably compounds it.
So the cumulative effect of all those minutes over that time plays a role. And I think for us, the depth that we had was a factor. The fact that we could use players in different roles throughout the tournament, and they were used to that. And the fact that they stuck together and they knew, hey, I might not be a starter this game, but I need to be ready coming off the bench, or I'm going to be a starter for this game, or my rules, you know, I'm injured, I can't do it. They were all behind each other. And again, I think that made a difference for us.
I know your program at UVA is never far from your mind, even if you're in Europe, as you were, you know, for much of the summer. How are you able to stay connected? How challenging is that to kind of monitor things back here in the States when you're overseas and you're focused on a goal like you were?
Well, I think since January has been the time that we've, as a national team, we've put a lot of preparations into the tournament. So it was, you know, and I'm fortunate. I have some very good assistants, and they did, Ron and Jaime and Ailey do a great job. So I was very fortunate to have them. I think I was pretty good about staying connected to our team as much as I could. Obviously, when I got back into town, we trained, right, and we were back in. I tried to miss as few games as possible during the spring. But I think where it was tougher was once we went to England for our pre-camp before the World Cup, and then once we got going in France. It's just that time period is just hard to connect with anybody. You know, I haven't seen my wife in 8 weeks, let alone talk to her. And so it just gets so intense. It's hard to describe or hard to explain, but you know, I miss them. That was another very challenging thing about this particular year is you know, I think we've got some great people and talented players here at Virginia, and I've always enjoyed working with them, and that was hard to be away from them for the time.
Let's talk about the team at Virginia. Your 2018 team finished 16-5-1 after losing on the road to Baylor in the NCAA tournament's round of 16. You have a lot back from that team, including your top three scorers, Alexis Spanstra, Megan McCool, and Rebecca Jarrett, and your goalkeeper, Laurel Ivory. You're starting from a pretty good place, aren't you?
We've got a lot of experience coming back, even though we're still pretty young, I would say. I think that and this is a hardworking group. I think they worked very hard in spring. I think that the taste of that last game where against, you know, when we lost in the NCAA tournament, we felt we were we did a lot of things in that game that maybe we deserved to win, but obviously not enough. And so but I was proud of the soccer we played that day. We just couldn't seem to find the back of the net.
Goal.
And so I think that experience is a good motivation for us heading into this year. Really, really pleased with how hard the team worked this spring. And I think a lot of them committed to the summer to get better individually. And so I'm excited. I think we're all excited about the team we have coming back and the you know, the motivation. And certainly I think it's inspirational to see the teams here at Virginia do so well this past year. Two of them win national championships,
right.
And I think that's always I think it's just tremendous for the other student athletes to see that, to know that's you know, that's a realistic goal here, you know, and that's what it should be, and hopefully we can be inspired by that, and it'll propel us this year.
What did you come away from last season thinking that was one area or several key areas that you needed to or wanted to improve on?
Well, one of the areas we talked about was our goal scoring. I felt we've always been a high-octane team and one that can score goals in a variety of ways. And I think the year before last, we didn't score many goals, and that was kind of our Achilles heel. So we worked hard on that in the spring. We came back. I thought we did a really good job. We scored goals.
Last season, we
were competitive, you know, in that regard. We had our average goals a game up where I think it has been over the last 8-10 years. So that was a key for us. I think the big thing for us is can we defend now more consistently? And I think it wasn't that we were giving up a lot of goals, but we were giving up goals that we felt was more on us than, say, the other team earned. And I think there were things that we can get better at. So we have to take responsibility for that. We worked hard on that in this past spring, and hopefully that's something we can do a better job of. I know the team really has they've been galvanized on that defending piece and not conceding goals. And I think hopefully if we can continue to score goals like we have, and then lock down the defending piece a little bit more, I think that's going to be helpful for us for sure.
You mentioned Jaime, who rejoined your staff in January. He's now one of your full-time assistants, along with Ron. What does he add to the program, and what did the time away do for him as a coach?
Well, he's been working the past 3 years on the national staff, and I think it's been a tremendous experience for him. I think he's grown in a lot of different ways. And, I mean, he was always an exceptional coach from the beginning. But I think the confidence coming back from that experience and the environment that it gave him to learn and to try some things as a coach, I think was really helpful. And I think both he and Ron work well together. We all work very well together, and I think we have a great group. And Jaime was made a big influence already in the spring. I think he's got great knowledge. He's willing to try things, and he's an excellent communicator as well, as is Ron. So we have a good staff. There's no question about that. Very excited about the staff.
You mentioned the national championships won this year by men's basketball and men's lacrosse. I know. I've talked to coaches in the department, and that motivates and inspires them, you know, in pursuit of their goals. Do you think it has that effect on the student athletes too?
Yes.
When they see their peers do that?
Yes. No question about it. I think one of the things about UVA that makes it such a special place is the camaraderie between the student athletes. And I think they're the kind of student athletes that I think they feed off one another, and they're very well connected. And I think they, they care about each other, and they respect all the programs. And I think those kinds of the national championships that men's basketball won, men's lacrosse won, and also just how competitive the rest of the sports are, and how strong they've been. I think that only helps, and I think it drives them, and I think it inspires them. In the same way, it inspires the coaches.
You have a large first-year class, I think larger than last year's was. Several of its members have played, you know, on the national age group teams. What are your thoughts on this class? I know it has yet to play a game at UVA, so a lot still to be determined. But on paper, it looks like a talented group. And do you have holes in the lineup and on the team that some of these players need to fill this year?
Well, I think that's one of the ingredients that, you know, the experience factor for us going into this year. I don't think we need to rely so much on our first years, even mm-hmm. though there's some really excellent players in the class. I think that the players that we've got coming back, the experience they've gained, I think we can afford, in at least in the short term, to ease them in and to make sure they understand the style and the system and find out what are the best roles for them with this particular team. And so I think that's a good thing for them. But we have some excellent talent in that group. I think it's just there's a big, you know, it's a big difference between being ready and mm-hmm. to be impactful at this level and not, you know. And I think or at least developing and gaining some confidence and working your way into the role. I think we have some players that will be ready for that transition. We have some players that will need a little bit of time. And then we'll have some players that I think may need more than a little time, but we all feel strongly about them that at some point they're going to impact our program. And I think they fit in really well so far to, you know, our culture and the style of play that we play. And we're excited to get going next week so we can see them and integrate them in with the team.
Yeah, when's your first practice?
Our first practice is Wednesday, August 7th.
So I know the NCAA limits the on-field contact that coaches can have with their players before the start of practice, in your sport at least. Are your players in town working out together, though?
Our players have always made a commitment to come back and to train together within the rules, you know, with our strength and conditioning coach. And they some of them obviously take classes or take one or two classes during the third session of summer school. but they're all working hard. And this year they made a commitment to an individual development plan, and I think they've been working on that individually as well as training with our strength and conditioning coach and playing together as much as possible, and also integrating the first year. So I think that'll help us obviously segue into the preseason, because we just don't have a lot of time, as you know. We have a couple weeks, and then bang, you're in their first game, so you have to be ready.
So one of the traditions of your program is training camp in Glen Arbor, Michigan. You heading back there this year?
Yes, yes. We go up there for a number of reasons. One, I think it gives us a chance to get into an environment where we're a little more isolated. We can get to know one another in a short time and bond a little bit off the field in particular. So that's good. But the other reason is we can maximize our training. The weather's usually a little cooler up there, and we can get a lot more done, I feel, in that environment, and still be together and still get a scrimmage in up there as well. We'll play the University of Illinois up there, which we do every other year. So overall, it's a good trip for us. I think we can focus on the team and preparing the team on the field, but also coming together off the field and then getting a scrimmage in before we come back here.
So if I'm reading the schedule correctly, your first seven games are at Klockner Stadium, beginning with the August 23rd opener against UC Irvine. On your schedule, you have 11 opponents that played in the NCAAs last year, and seven of those teams advanced to at least the Sweet 16. So, I mean, this is really nothing new for your program, but, I mean, you really try to challenge the team, don't you?
I think it's really important to do that, especially initially. I think our conference is always tough, as you know, and I think the non-conference part of our schedule has been traditionally been strong, and I think this is no different. You know, we'll play Penn State on the road. We play West Virginia at home, Georgetown at home, Minnesota at home, and UC Irvine, who's a very good team from the West Coast. So there's a lot of good games for the community and a lot of good games for our program to get ready for the ACC. But the combination of our non-conference schedule and our conference schedule, I think, will, again, make us one of the – it'd be one of the more competitive schedules in the country.
So have you had any time since the World Cup ended to catch your breath, or have you been running?
No, we flew back on a charter from France, arrived in Newark, and the team got on a bus and went to the hotel to be in the parade the next day. And I turned around and got a good dose of reality. I went to the Newark International Airport, got in line, got the security line, which lasted about an hour, 2 hours. I didn't have to deal with that before, and came back home for a day. And then I hadn't seen Julie in about 8 weeks. So I visited her for a few days. Then we had camp, and now we're starting next week. So it's been a short turnaround. I haven't really had a chance to catch my breath, but if you know me, which you do, that's who I am, and you just keep going, you know.
Well, so. I will not keep you here any longer than necessary. Thanks again for popping over, and congrats on a great summer, and looking forward to the season.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, August is here, and a new year is at hand for UVA Athletics. Preseason practice begins Friday evening for Bronco Mendenhall's football team. And our other fall sports, including women's soccer, will follow suit shortly. For information on all our teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.